they're shooting right now, and there's an officer down. It's coming from the right over there, from around these buildings. I don't know where. Main Street and Lamar. This is Main Street and Lamar. There's an officer down. They're moving in on somebody. I think they might have got somebody. Don't worry, I'm behind a tree. I think another officer's down around the corner over here. They got SWAT over here. I can't really get any closer. I'm safe, man. Don't worry about it. I appreciate it, though. I love y'all. So they just dragged one of the officers up into this police car right here to get attention. And there's somebody else down over there. If you can see around this corner, I don't know if y'all can see that.
Get out of there.
They're telling me to go. I gotta go.
Let me tell you, folks, I don't advocate or condone violence. But I will say this. You reap what you sow. You cannot expect to do certain things to a certain party of people or to an individual and not expect repercussions. City 104 on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, on Spotify.com, on SoundCloud. John Robinson at writerscafe.org. Listen, I feel bad for those cops that got shot in Dallas, man, but you know what? It was leading up to this. It was leading up to something really bad happening. And it has happened. So anyway, sit back. Relax. And enjoy.
About 6 o'clock, we had a peaceful demonstration in downtown Dallas. After the demonstration, there were about 800 people in that demonstration. We had 100 officers protecting the demonstrators and the surrounding area. After the demonstration, a march was taking place to the West End. And at 8:58, our worst nightmare happened. Dallas Public Safety, Dallas Police Department, DART officers were fired upon by shooters. I'm sad to say that we have deceased, and it is a heartbreaking moment for the city of Dallas. I'm going to let Chief Brown go over the details of that, and then I'll come back and close, and we'll take the questions that we can take. Chief.
First of all, this is a very emotional time for our department, for the law enforcement community here in Dallas and across this country. As it relates to this incident, what I can tell you as an update is that just before coming out, we got information that we had a suspect cornered in the El Centro garage on the second floor, we believe is one of the shooters, and we are negotiating with that person as we speak. So I'm going to have to get back real quick, but we do know what happened is that at least two snipers, from elevated positions as the protest rally march ended, began firing upon our officers, ambush style, and shot what we believe at this point 11 officers. We've confirmed one more since we put out the initial 10. 11 officers were shot, and 3 are deceased. Some shot in the back. We believe that these suspects were positioning themselves in a way to triangulate on these officers from two different perches in garages in the downtown area, and planned to injure and kill as many law enforcement officers as they could. We are reaching out to the families of all these officers and getting them transported to the hospital, so we'll ask for your prayers for these families. And we ask that you give our officers strength to catch these suspects and bring them to justice tonight. If anyone has information about these suspects, please call the Dallas Police Department. Call 911 and give us that information so we can bring these people to justice. We also believe that these suspects have threatened to plant a bomb in the downtown area. We have reached out to our federal law enforcement partners, both the FBI and the ATF, to help us search for both the suspects, or maybe it's more, and to do a very thorough search of this area where we believe there might be a bomb planted. And again, I'll quickly take some questions, but I want to remind you, we got one of these suspects cornered, and I need to get back and take care of the business of protecting this city. So
let me finish, and then we'll take the questions. Okay. I ask everybody to focus on one thing right now, and that is the Dallas police officers, their families, those that are deceased, those that are in the hospital, fighting for their lives. Let's all come together and support our police officers. I've never been as proud. I believe we've got one of the best forces in the nation, and we've done things with civil rights in the right way, and we've done it for the safety of our citizens. So please, let's come together right now as a city. Let's take some questions.
Talk about the pictures you guys want put out. Who are these people you're looking for in the pictures?
Hey, folks. It's JDR. This is a tragic thing that happened in Dallas. And like I said earlier, you reap what you sow. I do not condone violence. I do not advocate violence. I do not think that violence is a solution or resolution. It shouldn't happen. The thing here is, like I said, if something let me put it this way. If you are being bullied in school, and you are constantly being bullied, at one point, you're going to turn around and you're going to punch that bully in the face. Because you've had enough. And this is what's happening here. Now, we don't want this to get out of hand. And my question is this. Was this some sort of anti-cop, anti-white, the new Black Panthers? Or was this a jihadist group? We don't know yet. We're going to find out. Because it doesn't really make a difference. What they did was just deplorable. And doesn't help the situation at all. And another thing is, how will what happen in Dallas affect cops' reactions to Black people? Because if these people were Black that did this, in some sort of anti-cop, anti-white thing, because I was just reading somewhere that the shooters were actually looking to just shoot white cops. So, if these are Black individuals that did this, the only thing that's going to happen will be that cops will be even more aggressive against Black people. Because they will, they're going to have in their minds the five cops that were shot dead. And the, I think it was 11 that were injured. And it's just going to make situations worse. Like I said in my special, and I apologize because I spelled the word special totally wrong. But I was so shaken by the actions and what went on, and I was just kind of shook up from the whole thing and afraid. So I couldn't get my stuff really together. But there, we cannot have a civil war, per se, of Blacks against cops. We can't have it. We can't have it evolve into something that is Blacks against whites, for example. We just can't have that. We need to sit back and we need to stay cool and we need to just find out what the base, and I said this in the special, we need to find out what the base of this problem is. And we need to eradicate it. We need to get to the bottom of it. We need to eradicate it. You know, if cops are being taught the wrong way in the academy, because I really don't understand why cops are shooting Black individuals like this. And I said this in my special. I said, at this moment, I don't care how you react, because you need, or we need, to make it relevant. We need for the police department to understand we are not the enemy. We are not the enemy. Every time you pull a black guy over doesn't mean, oh my God, he's got a gun, shoot. Just because he's black. And what happened in Dallas, listen, that's not a resolution at all. At no point is that a resolution. But you see, the thing is this. They brung it among themselves. They brung it among themselves for this type of reaction. You know the saying, every action has an opposite or equal reaction. And this is what's happening now. It's not the right thing. Nobody says this. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm saying you brung it among yourselves. You took it to the point, just like the bully in school. You took it to the point where the person had to turn around and punch you in the face. Is it the right thing to do? No. But I bet you what? That bully will all of a sudden stop and say, holy shit, he's fighting back. And that's important. In this situation, that is very important. Because you are killing black individuals for absolutely no reason. So now when the black community all of a sudden turns around and says, you know what? We're going to take you out too. Two wrongs don't make a right. But you know what? You were the bully and you got punched in the face. I'll be back.
people are very afraid of the police. That is a big part of our culture. Don't matter how rich you are, how old you are. We're just afraid of them. We got every reason to be afraid of them. You know what I mean? Like, you're a white lady. You ever been pulled over before? You know, and what they say, let me see your driver's license and your registration, right? See, I'm just guessing. That's not what they say to us. Well, you wouldn't believe what they say to us. Spread your cheeks and lift your sack. Like, what the fuck? Excuse me? You heard me. Spread open your cheeks and lift your sack. I got a driver's license, too. There's easier ways to prove who I am and shit. What does that prove? I can't go to the bank like that. Cash my check. What do you mean you don't have any ID? Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chappelle, right this way. Why didn't you spread your cheeks in the beginning?
Scared of them. I'm serious, man. You ever be at a red light, the police might pull up next to you. It won't be no big deal for you, but you know what? I'll fucking fall apart. Oh, nigga. Oh, don't look over there, nigga. Oh. But I didn't always know that was a black thing. It took me a while to figure that out. I learned that shit in New York. I was in New York City. Now, I was hanging out with a friend of mine. He's a white guy, you know. We were just hanging out. And we were lost in the city. We were smoking a joint. Now, I don't know if it was a coincidence that we were lost and high and shit, but... My white buddy, he was smoking a joint. Dave, it's the goddamn cops. I'm gonna ask them for directions. I said, Chip, no! Chip, don't do it! It was too late. He was walking over there, this man was high as shit.
Excuse me. Excuse me, sir.
Touching him and shit.
Excuse me. Need some information.
Start confessing things you shouldn't confess.
I'm a little high. All I want to know, which way is 3rd Street?
The cop was like, hey, take it easy. You're on 3rd Street. You better be careful. Go ahead, move it. Move it. That's all that happened. That's the end of the story. Now, I know that's not amazing to some of you, but yeah, as one of these black fellas, that shit is fucking incredible, isn't it? I'm sorry, a black man would never dream of talking to the police high. That's a waste of weed. Serious. I mean, I'd be scared to talk to the police when I'm sleepy. They fuck around and get the wrong idea.
Oh, my God. That nigga was on PCP, Johnson.
I had to use necessary force.
You saw him. No paperwork. Just sprinkle some crack on him. Let's get out of here.
That's how it is. But at the time, I didn't think it was anything racial about it. I was just like, man, Chip, you got fucking lucky. You better be careful. But then another time, me and Chip are driving. Now, I'm not driving. Chip is driving, and he's driving a little crazy. He's been drinking. Now, I don't like to let my friends drive drunk, but, you know, I was smoking a joint. I couldn't really say shit to the guy. And we get at a red light. We stop at a red light. And a car pulls up next to us. And I'll never forget it. Chippy looks at me, he's all drunk, and she's like,
Dave, I'm going to race him.
I knew it was a bad idea, but I was high. I tried to explain to him it was a bad idea, but all that came out was, well, nigga, sometimes you got to race. I don't know. Man, that light turned green and Chip took off, zigzagging and Chip so no one could pass. Another car didn't even know he was racing. Then the police seen us and pulled us over. Now, you understand, I'm scared as shit. I mean, come on, the car smells like weed. I've been speeding, this man is fucking drunk. I was scared. Chip was not scared at all. It was weird, he didn't even turn his radio down. Isn't that weird a little bit? I mean, if you get pulled over, wouldn't you turn your radio down? Nobody wanna get their ass beat to a soundtrack and shit. You know what I'm saying? Chip had the music blasting, we're not gonna take it. What are the reasons? Dave, just relax. Close your butt cheeks. Just relax. Let me do the talking. You wanna know what he said? This is almost exactly what he said. I couldn't believe it. He says, oh. Sorry, officer, I didn't know I couldn't do that. I was fucking shocked. The cop said, well, now you know. Just get out of here. Just get the fuck out of here. Chip said, okay, I will, sir. Thank you. What? What's wrong with you, Dave? I didn't know I couldn't do that. He said, that was good, wasn't it? Because I did know I couldn't do that. I was shocked. I wasn't shocked at the audacity of it. I was just shocked because I would have never thought to say that. I don't think any black dude would think to say that because they know we know the law. Every black dude in this room is a qualified paralegal and shit. He knows the law. I mean, if one of us even start to do something wrong, an old black man would pop out of nowhere. Nigga, don't do that. That's 5 to 10. Watch out. But we know the laws and the penalties. That Chip didn't even know he couldn't race. I'm not saying I don't like police. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm just scared of them. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we want to call them too. Somebody broke into my house once. It's a good time to call them, but I don't The house is too nice. It ain't a real nice house, but they'd never believe I lived it. It'd be, oh, he's still here. Oh my God. Open and shut case, Johnson. I saw this once before when I was a rookie. Apparently this nigger broke in and hung up pictures of his family everywhere. Well, let's sprinkle some crack on him and get out of here.
Oh, you know, that's that whole brutality thing. See, that's common knowledge now. There was a time when only minorities really knew about that. I'm not going to say white people didn't believe us, but you were a little skeptical. You were a little skeptical. I mean, I don't blame you. And then Newsweek printed it, he knew it was true. And then Newsweek, white people were like, oh, my God.
Honey, did you see this? Apparently, the police have been beating up Negroes like hotcakes. It's in the May issue.
I mean, really, how could you know, though? How could anyone else know? You know. I mean, maybe you should have seen something a little suspicious. Don't you think it was like a little suspicious? Just a little suspicious? Every dead black person the police find has crack sprinkled on them. I mean, come on. Come on, man. Who gets shot and sprinkles crack on themselves? Nobody would do that. Bam! Oh.
I don't want to leave no mysteries.
Dave Chappelle, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I love the guy. He gave up the $56 million, and I understand why, because he didn't want to be a puppet. He wanted to be himself. He's going to make enough money. He didn't need that contract. And he is totally right, man. He is absolutely right. I've been afraid of cops all my damn life. I mean, I lived in Germany for 21 years. I was afraid of cops there. Anybody wearing a uniform, and I advocate for the cops. I like the police, you know. They protect us. They're our saviors at some times, you know. But, you know, it's the human element, so you're always going to get bad and good. But, you know, what's happening now or in the last year or so, it's been indescribable, you know. So Chappelle's got it down. He's got it down. Listen, I didn't give my shout-outs for, like, the last two shows. I had the special. I didn't give my shout-outs there. I just sort of, like, fell apart, and I was just totally confused about this whole thing, you know, with Minnesota and Mr. Sterling. And it just didn't, you know, I was just falling apart because I didn't know. And I still don't know what the hell was going on or is going on. You know, and it's funny because I have most of my friends are white. I don't have any black friends. I have my little sister. I've known her for like over 17 years. She's white. I have a man that I consider my best friend that lives in Minnesota. He has two kids and his wife, and he's white. I have another friend here, not far away from me. You know, he lives in Elmhurst. I live in Jamaica, you know, in Queens, New York. And he's white. I don't have black friends. We're not on the same page. I listen to heavy metal I listen to some rap, some, not a lot. I listen to more alternative and metal. And we're just not on the same page. We don't dress the same. We don't speak the same. That's just, and I know what Muhammad Ali was saying, you know, about, you know, you have to love black people. And I know what it's not that I don't like black people, it's just that we don't have, we don't coincide with one another. Every now and then I'll run into a black guy that I knew, a black guy like years ago when I was homeless, that was me and him were on the same page. He, you know, he knew what who Led Zeppelin was, and you know, Jim Morrison, and we were able to have conversations. I had a buddy like that in the military. As a matter of fact, his favorite band was Yes. You know, I know a lot of you people right now are going, Yes? What the hell is a Yes? It was a great band at the time. It was a great band at the time. But I don't know, I just strayed off and went into some weird conversation. Anyway, I'm going to give my shout-outs to the NYPD and the FDNY and ASPCA and North Shore Animal League and SOS Wildlife and Guardians of the Voiceless. And there are a lot of animal organizations out there. And I know that I said that I was going to move in to the animal thing, and I am, but just because of what happened in Minnesota and to Mr. Sterling, was that in Detroit? I can't remember where that was at. But anyway, just because of that and the recent events in Dallas, I found it important to talk about these things. I will get into the animal stuff. Believe you me, I will. You know I say a lot of stuff and I just don't do it, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen probably the next show. Unless something really crazy happens and I feel that I need to, you know, comment on it. You know? So anyway, this has been CD104, and I think it is CD104. Complaint Department on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, and Podomatic.com. And on SoundCloud, Tal Aquinas is at your-poetry.com. And John Robinson is at writerscafe.org. Okay? All right. I'll either be back or I won't. But anyway, just keep listening. Bye-bye.
Hurting on your ass, man, you know. They really degrade you. White folks don't believe that shit, don't believe cops degrade. Oh, come on, those beatings, those people are resisting arrest. I'm tired of this harassment of police officers. Because the police live in your neighborhood, see? And you be knowing them as Officer Timpson.
Hello, Officer Timpson, going bowling tonight? Yes, nice pinto you have.
Niggas don't know him like that. See, white folks get a ticket, they pull over.
Hey, officer, yes, glad to be of help. Hey, oh.
Nigga got to be talking about, I am reaching into my pocket for my license. Because I don't want to be no motherfucking accident. police degrade. I don't know. You know, it's awful. You wonder why a nigga don't go completely mad. No, you do. You get your shit together. You work all week, right? And then you get dressed. You make, maybe say, cat, make $125. We get $80 if he lucky. Right? And he go out, get clean, be driving with his old lady, going out to a club, and police pull over. Get out of the car. That was a robbery. A nigga looked just like you. All right, put your hands up, take your pants down, spread your cheeks. Now, what nigga feel like having fun after that?
Oh, let's just go home, baby. You go home, beat your kids and shit. You gonna take that shit out on somebody.
Minister Malcolm, you have suggested that there are all kinds of movements in Harlem growing that you and I don't know about.
Oh, yes. Frustration itself has been sufficient, all that was necessary to make Negroes realize the importance of banding together. And Negroes are banding together.
Banding together in what kind of movements?
Different kinds of movements, all kinds of movements, and they remain almost invisible. They remain almost unknown, but yet they are there. When I say invisible, I mean invisible in the sense that their existence is unknown, and no matter how much you try and track them down, you can't find them. And never try and find them through the Negro leaders. The Negro leaders are famous as apologists. If you recall, one of the most famous Negro leaders in 1959 was asked by you about the Black Muslim movement. And he said he knew nothing about it. And the next moment, you flashed a picture on the screen with him shaking hands with me. So if you will recall. So this is their policy. This is their attitude or their reaction. They never know what's going on in the Negro community.
And what form will the activities of these various so-called invisible movements take in Harlem this summer?
An example. Commissioner Murphy. Almost every statement that Commissioner Murphy makes would give you the impression that he's encouraging the police, rank-and-file policemen, that to take whatever method or measure is necessary to hold the Negroes in check. He feeds the type of statistics to the white public to make them think that Harlem is a complete criminal area, that everyone is prone toward violence. This gives the police the impression that they can then go and brutalize the Negroes or suppress the Negroes or even frighten the Negroes. Whenever something happens, 20 police cars converge on one area. This doesn't frighten Negroes. So it means that someone is either misinforming Commissioner Murphy and making him use tactics this year that he would not use 4 years ago or that the former policeman Kennedy would not use. And this force that is so visible in the Harlem community creates a spirit of resentment in every Negro. They think they're living in a police state and they become hostile toward the policeman. They think that the policeman is there to be against them rather than to protect them. And these thoughts, these frustrations, these apprehensions automatically are sufficient to make this make these Negroes begin to form means and ways to protect themselves in case the police themselves get too far out of line.